This is Colourful Radio.
And I'm very pleased to do this interview because it's with the one and only, absolutely fantastic, Junior Gishcombe. And look, I've learnt to say the name properly.
Gishcombe.
I still said it wrong, darn it.
Gishcombe, she does try. Give her a hand. Come on.
Hey.
You are so never going to want to interview me. Never going to want me to interview you ever again, are you?
That's kind of cool, you know. Don't worry about it. It's all right.
Gishcombe.
That's right. Gishcombe.
You right. Know what? I practice and practice and practice and still get it. I'm so sorry. Because as I explained my interview to you that time, I was saying to you that I was just so used to Junior.
And, well, it's a funny thing, you see, right? When I was signed to a particular rate, well, when I signed to MCA, they decided that they wanted to change my name from Junior to Junior Gishcombe.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really down with it, but I thought, okay, you know, you're trying to play nice and you're trying to run away. You know, you're running with people.
Yeah.
So I went with the Junior Gishcombe thing and I went to America and I was doing a radio interview and while I was out there and I said to them that, like, you know, you got to call me Junior Gishcombe now. This is what the record company wants. So we get on air and the guy says, hey, man, we got Junior. I was like, yeah, it's supposed to be Junior Gishcombe. We got Junior. Like, Junior. Like, okay, I'll stick with Junior. So in America, it's Junior and it's really cool. And in England for the last, like, 10, 15 years now, I think it is, it's been Junior Gishcombe.
All right. The funny thing is for me, show my age when I'm just saying this to you, right?
Go on.
The funny thing is for me, it took me a while to realise that Junior and Junior Gishcombe was
the same person. Don't worry, she's going for it. Listen, stick with the Junior. You see, that's why I didn't want to go with the Gishcombe part. You see, but listen, you can't tell certain people. You know, you know when you get these record companies and they kind of like figure that we know.
Yeah, we know what we're doing.
Yeah, we know what we're doing.
Is it supposed to make you more mature by having your surname added onto Junior? Because Junior makes you sound young.
Junior makes you sound young,
like,
but then it's kind of like the way that I talk anyway. People tend to say that you sound very young.
You do.
Right, so I think that's got a lot to do with the fact of, like, having kids and having all of that stuff around you, and they keep you young.
Yeah, they do.
You're running up and down, you're doing things with them and whatever, so it keeps you young.
Mm.
So your outlook is very fresh. And, you know, to sit down and start talking on a baritone, like, yes, you know, I did really do this time, right? It kind of don't work for me.
No, it doesn't. I have to say, with the kids, they only keep you young to a certain extent. Oh,
they kill you, man. You know what I'm saying? They can kill you.
Yeah, I'm real pleased to have you in, because last time I spoke to you, it was on the telephone.
That's right.
You did get to speak on the phone, but you like had a busy beginning of the year. You said you was did it take off, the stuff you were supposed to begin of this year?
We did. The beginning of the year worked out really well, right? I've spent, like, I've been back at, well, in England now for what, it's been about since the time we last spoke. So it's been a couple of months now I've been back.
Right, right.
And we're doing a lot of live work.
Yeah.
I'm also recording a new album. We started that last month.
Yeah,
so that's going well.
Yeah. Brilliant, that's good.
So that's going well. There's a few things in the pipeline which I will tell you, but I can't tell everybody else
yet. Yeah, at a later date.
At a later date, right? Colourful will keep you posted.
Keep you posted on that one.
And I go back to America in, when am I back? I'm back in May. We do a 6-week tour there, and then I'm back in England, and we do some dates back in England through the end of June into July. And then I go back to Jamaica, which is pretty much like home from home for me now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, It's going very, very well. I can't complain. But then I've been very fortunate with my career.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I work when I want to work, and I work with people who I want to work with. And, you know, I've been very fortunate through writing songs for other people and having success through the Lighthouse family, to Richard Blackwood, to Warren G, to Heavy D, to Ruby Turner, to Maxi Priest. So as a writer, I've done pretty well,
yeah,
and that's been great. And as an artist, I still make records, and, you know, we did very well with the last album, right, which was the Oceans album. So I just thought, you know, it'd be nice to come out and play live. I'm like that, you know, you get into one thing, and then you get you're into, like, recording, and that's all you want to do. And then once you finish, you just want to play live, because that's really what it's about.
The end thing, But it's like what you're saying, what you're doing. Like, when Ray was in, Ray Ferran, the actor, was talking to Elaine, and he was even saying, you know, you just don't say you're an actor, or you don't just say you're a presenter. You have to have your fingers doing all these different stuff. So,
well, I suppose I'm an advocate for the fact that, like, no one person is any one thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's a bit strange when people, you say, what are you doing? It's, oh, I'm a presenter. It's like, so that's all you do?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But in actual fact, you're most probably a mother or a father, and you know, you might do work underneath that mm-hmm. people don't know about. You if you're like myself, I started out as an artist in the sense of being signed to a record company to sing songs. I fought with the record company at that time to be able to write the songs and produce the songs, and started with Mama Used to Say, and it just went on from there. And then I wanted to go into films, and I did Beverly Hill Cop, and I did a song for Beverly Hill Cop, which basically, Do You Really Want My Love, is the biggest record that I'd ever done, right? Stop it. This is the biggest record that I'd ever done.
Thank goodness there's no cameras in here.
I know, easy. So that was the beginning of me realizing that from one, I could write, two, I could produce, three, if I wanted to do certain movies, the Scorsese movie that I did, All the Right Moves, what's his name? Cruise, Tom Cruise was the star of that, and I did a song for that as well.
See, people don't know this stuff, do they?
No, so it's nice to be able to just sit down and say, like, well, boy, I did this, and I did, you know, Do You Really Want My Love for Beverly Hill Cop, which did 11 million copies worldwide. I mean, sorry, 11 million copies in America alone. So for me, Mama Used to Say was the opening, and the rest of it, Mama was like the catalyst. It opened the door for me, Too Late opened the door for me. Yeah. Gave me the chance to work with Stevie Wonder, recorded with Stevie Wonder. Gave me the chance to meet so many different people who loved what I did in America.
Yeah, which is good.
Which is wonderful for me. And you know, it was at the beginning of, if you like, a British invasion. You know, so you had people like myself come in, and then after me you had Loose Ends, and then after them you had Soul to Soul.
Yeah,
and after
Jazzy,
them,
and saying that he was in earlier.
Right,
yeah.
So you had, you know, the beauty of all of that was that, like, you know, you started something and opened up doors. In that time, America didn't even know that we had black people, you know, in the UK. And this is a serious thing, you know what I'm saying? It's a very serious thing, because they wouldn't believe that, like, you know, when Mama came out, they wouldn't take it on board that I was English.
Really?
Like, they didn't want to know.
I think I've told you this before. I didn't think he was English.
But this is what I'm trying to say. People tended to listen to the record and didn't fully grasp the fact of
that he was English.
We were English. And, you know, you go 10, 15 years on, you do something like Morning Will Come, and the same thing happens again, because the groove was so strong. Everybody at home was like, well, boy, he can't be English. He's only American man, do them thing there. And you think to yourself, well, no, actually, this is our vibe and this is our groove. So making records for me has always been bringing something fresh to the table, something new, right? And basically, once it's played, you tend to find that a lot of other artists listen to it, and they use bits and pieces of it, which is wonderful for me, because it just goes to show what we do here really does go worldwide.
Yeah.
You just need to support it in the way that it should be.
You know, like, the fact that you're doing your work now, consistently doing work, as you said, your fingers in a few pies and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
When I was talking to Jazzy this morning, it's the same thing. It's really nice to see the artists that are consistently doing their stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And consistently working. But you made a point, which a valued point, when you said, back in the day, that like you went abroad, opened the door, other UK artists can go over and work. That's not really happening these days, though, is it, with the UK artists? I don't know what's wrong. It's not like that anymore.
I think what it is a lot of it, the UK artists are desperate to sign. Are desperate to sound American.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, it's such a shame, because what they need to understand is that they have something so rich to give to the to the world. They're more diverse, so off of being so diverse, they can inject rock, they can inject R&B, they can inject pop, they can inject reggae. Whereas a lot of the American artists, and like, you know, a lot of them, their parents come from the West Indies. And because of that, they now use a lot of reggae in what they do in terms of the vibe and stuff for what they do. And it's really important to them to have that. We tend to want to shy away from our roots.
Yeah.
And we tend to want to make our roots a bit more, if you like, grey. So it's not black, it's kind of grey, because if it's grey, then it fit in. And if it fits in, then I have the opportunity and the chance to be successful. It's very funny, because it's a shame, because if it's like, you know, you'll have a white guy who does R&B music, like at the present moment everybody will play the American guy, I can't remember his name now, Robin Thicke.
Yeah,
so everybody plays Robin
Thicke. It was John B at one stage,
and it was John B now, you know, and then it was John B first, and then Justin Timberlake, and so it's like anything that sounds like us, we tend to play, which is it's bizarre. When we do what we do, right? Mm. We get thrown back on it that it's not as good as.
When
in actual fact, right, if reggae artists had looked at reggae music in that way and tried to make reggae music more accessible to a wider audience, right, they wouldn't be the kind of reggae that we have today. We'd be in trouble.
We really would be. You know, but talking to you, it's funny. It's like the artist that's been through today, the subjects are tying together. Even though everyone's individually talking about what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're talking about the opening of the door. I was talking to Jazzy about how much he's been doing his work and still going and stuff like that and how it was different back in the day then. Judith Jacobs was talking similar certain things that you were saying about don't make it grey, but she wasn't using the word grey. But she's basically saying, if we stick to doing what we're doing without diluting it down, people will accept it because they will be able to see the side, your side of things.
It's a bit like it's like saying, if you know where you're coming from, right, then you know where you're going, right? And I believe that because, see, the long and the short is, when I started, I came from South London. I lived in Clapham South, but round the corner from Brixton.
No, so you were a bit more Cockney when you said that.
I was a bit more Cockney.
Yeah, you went there, didn't I?
Right, and I went from there, and Brixton, South London, Swan, Lansdowne, all of these clubs. Mm. I played Cox and Sound when I was like 16, 15.
Mm.
We used to play down at the Roaring Twenties. Right, I got a chance to listen to, you know, Neville Enchanter, Jew Creed, all of these sound systems who were primarily 99.9% playing reggae music. If they played a soul tune, you knew that it was a lick. You knew that it was it had to be.
Otherwise, it just like sweep the floor and everyone just
But what it did, for somebody like me is it showed the importance of sticking true to your roots. So when I did Mama, and I wanted to mix rock guitar. And the record company was a bit iffy. At the time, there wasn't mostly pirate radio. And at that time, pirate radio wasn't ready for hearing a black guy come in with a rock guitar kind of thing. So when it went to America and it was accepted, it became a number one hit in America. And then once it was a hit in America, everybody here decided that they would accept it.
Yeah, because like you said as well, they thought it was an American
Exactly.
artist.
By the time it went, you get what I'm saying? But it came out in England, Mama came out in England first, and nobody would play it because of the rock guitar. But then when it went to America and it became a success, nobody worried about the rock guitar. And to kind of like, you know, salvage themselves, they turn around and say, oh, yeah, well, it had a remix on it, didn't it? It had an American remix. Not actually taking on board that, like, it came from England and it would have been nice if you kind of, like, supported it.
Yeah, it did really well in England. I'm looking online at it there. It was in the UK charts, it says here, for 13 weeks. Is that correct?
Yeah, Yeah, that record stayed around for a little
long
while.
Time.
A little while, man. A couple of months that record stayed around.
And I know there's a lot of people that still know the words to it, mate.
Hey, listen, I do. It's wonderful because you can do shows now. I do shows now whereby I don't even bother with the band.
Yeah.
I just play, like, you go on drums and just drums and vocal. And I sing Mummy Used to Say and everybody sings along and the chorus and they know it. And it's a wonderful thing. It's like the same thing with Morning Will Come. The vibe of Morning Will Come has become if you like, it's like a pathway for a lot of people. A lot of people have lived their life, gone through certain things with that song. And it's lovely to perform that, and especially the women, right? The guys turn around and they always come up and make you a tune, my friend, tune. Whereas the women can always tell you what they were going through at the time. And, you know, it's great to have been a part of something like that where lyrically you're able to say something that touches people and gives them a vibe and upliftment.
Yeah, I hear you.
Do you know what I'm saying?
That's what it's about. For me, that's what music's about.
Music's supposed to be fun, and it's supposed to be, for me anyway, it's fun, and it's also supposed to be enlightening. You know, I came from the school of listening to people like Gil Scott-Heron back in the day, and if it wasn't for Gil Scott-Heron and people like him telling me about the various things that was going on in America where they were taking blood from people down south and injecting them, and that was the beginning of AIDS. I had no idea about that. Gil Scott-Heron was writing about that kind of stuff like back in like 73, 74. So, and Curtis Mayfield was also somebody who wrote lyrics that was uplifting and also very inspiring and true to where they were coming from. So for me, it was like if I was going to make records, when I made Mama Used to Say, Mama Used to Say was something that my mother did actually say. So you wanted to communicate things that people were talking, people were saying. When I did Too Late, we tackled the alcoholism. Mm. When I did Communication Breakdown, we tackled the fact of colour issue. When we did Coming Right Up to Date with Oceans, it's again going back to Where Morning Will Come, which was a lot more spiritual.
Yeah.
So for me, it's always been about trying to tap into what's going on, being like a sponge, take everything in, and then when you come to writing and producing and putting it down, it's like you're just squeezing out all of what you've got.
Well, Junior, you was before your time.
You was way before.
Because a lot of the songs from back then, they weren't really singing about nothing in particular. Mm. The beat was good because there was a lot more musicians then.
Very true.
Yes, the beat was good, so it wasn't really about the lyrics. Mm. And more time now, the youngsters that are coming up are trying to go with the lyrics. Mm. They're putting their point across through their lyrics.
I think that's important.
Yeah, very important. But if you're telling me you was doing it from then...
Well, if you listen, as I said, if you listen to Mama used to say, which was the first thing, right... The whole thing is it's social conscious, right? Conscience song. It's talking about, right, something that people use it today in various ways. You know, in America, they have TV programs and it's starting, as Mama used to say, and they play the song because of the lyrical content, because of what the lyric was saying, right? Don't rush to get hold. Take your time. There's always going to be, you will get to 16, you will get to 18. Mm. Whereas now in this particular time, most kids kind of like turn around, and if I have a conversation with them and they get to like 21, 22, they say rubbish like, you know, to me it's rubbish, but they say things like, you know, I didn't think I was going to live to see this. And you're like, well, hold on.
Where do you think you are?
Where did you get that from? You know, you're listening to a lyrical content that's divisive, that's trying to tell you that you're not capable of going anywhere. Mm. And what I'm saying is through what I'd write, I'm trying to tell them, the young kids, and also people that know, that like, hey, man, we've got to continue to move forward and strive to be better people, strive to ensure that our communities are strong, strive to ensure that we come together and we make various councils understand that if you don't actually listen to us, we will boycott you. We will not vote for you.
Yeah.
Start taking control of our thing, right? And our thing is not just a black thing, white thing, Asian thing, an Indian thing. It's within that community. If we stand together within that community, then we will make effective change.
I totally agree. I totally agree with you.
I just don't see it any other way. I think it's very divisive the way that the governments run things. And I think that we need to think a lot more. And as older people, we need to really take control and not actually sit down and listen to a lot of rhetoric about black-on-black crime. That makes no sense to me at all. Mm. The reason I say it makes no sense to me at all is because I live in a country, if it's 60 million people and we're supposed to be 2 million people, how is it that there is this black-on-black crime, right, when the country has crime across the board? What are you saying? It's only us that have crime?
Yeah, it's the only one that's been registered.
Yeah, so what you're doing is you're perpetuating things. You know, you've got people frightened of a Muslim, you've got people frightened of a Jew, you've got people frightened of, just because of, right, rhetoric, and also money comes into play. So I'm a kind of advocate for kind of like trying to push that to one side and making everybody understand if we don't stick together and support our one another, right, then we will become as fragmented as the government in this country wants us to be. Yeah, exactly, right? And once that happens, then it's very easy to turn around and look at your white counterpart in a derogatory way or look at your black counterpart in a derogatory way, because various things are set up for that to happen.
Yeah, I
agree. You know, just one thing on that was coming to the EastEnders program.
Oh, yeah.
I never watched it, but I heard all of this talk about the fact of it's going to be a black EastEnders cast and everything. You know, it's just this whole half an hour. I haven't heard one person actually talk about the fact that the actual writing was by white writers.
Yeah.
Right? And the actual production of it was by white people.
Hmm.
So that being the case, it was a white perspective on black people. These actors shouldn't have been knocked in any shape, form or fashion because they're actors. These words were given to them and they had to say them. That's their job, right? But it didn't represent, right? And it doesn't represent because those people who wrote that could not have lived in that environment that to fully understand what they were writing.
Exactly. I have to admit, I'm going to say exactly the same thing Elaine said. If the papers and that didn't go on about it, we wouldn't have even have noticed.
We wouldn't have even known.
I wouldn't have noticed. It's just EastEnders. It's just the cast of EastEnders. I would never even have noticed.
It wouldn't have even bothered about it.
I was thinking, that ain't news.
But the funny thing is that, like, in them pushing that, Then they turn around on the following day and they slag the various people who were acting within it, that it wasn't good and it wasn't this. But nobody actually turns around and says anything about the writers.
Mm.
That's the time we're living in. We need to rise above that and understand what they're doing and understand, like, you know, a lot of the time the papers and a lot of the things that the media drops, right, we really don't need to be a part of.
Mm.
And we really do need to stay on course of what how a parents and our grandparents gave us as a basis in terms of moral standings and things like that, which we've tended to kick to the curb for what is supposed to be what's in.
Yeah.
I'm not old fashioned, far from it, to be quite honest, but a lot of the old values, right, to me hold true. And, you know, my thing, my mother always taught me, mama used to say, right, you should respect, right, your fellow man. Not because he's white, black, Indian, Chinese or whatever, but he's a man, he's a human being. And if you start from there, right, I think we can move forward.
I totally agree.
I think if we continue with this whole thing of perpetuating things like black-on-black crime, perpetuating the things like we're not good enough, perpetuating the things that, like, we need to have... You know, I don't see white mentors running around going on TV saying we're mentoring white young kids.
Yeah.
But we seem to have to do that. We have to say it. We have to try and get... Those kind of things bother me because it doesn't actually sit well with me.
Mm.
You know, it's killing the kids and it's giving them a way of thinking that's not 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, you know, my children went to uni, right? And my son... does training of football, and my son wouldn't go and train kids at Fulham at football, right? And he's doing that, right? And there's a bunch of black, white, Indian, Chinese kids, and he's going to say, well, boy, you know what? I'm going to pull this one aside and do that. He's dealing with the whole lot, and he wants the whole of them to have a mental attitude that works for the team to work, right?
Nice,
And that's what, to me, is important, and I think that's something that we need to ensure that we have within our community.
I love that. And on that note, and I'm glad that you came in. You've came in and talked about your business and talked about the community and talked about a lot more other stuff as well, Junior.
Thank you very much.
And looking forward to getting you back in again with some more news that you're going to be having for us soon.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I think it'll be very good.
We'll leave it at that one.
This is Colourful Radio.